The assumption goes that society will prosper with technologies of connection. Nicholas Carr in Superbloom tells a startlingly different story. Superbloom, buy it now wherever books are sold.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What a fake town! Hey, how we doing? It's St. Patrick's Day on The Usual Suspects, and I'm the only one wearing green, so pinch away at Barry and Nick as we
get this party started.
I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Easy to do, right? I mean, because of everything else going on in the world.
I think, and this isn't a knock at you, but I think when you were a kid, it meant more. Now as an adult, I don't really care. If you pinch me, I'll probably punch you in the face.
Well, I remember at school that that pinching thing was a big deal.
Yeah, and now if you do it, I'm just, that's assault.
I like St. Patrick's beer. Doesn't
well,
taste
you
any
can't
different.
Go out and
I was gonna say,
it.
Is it any? Just the color's different. It's not really.
I guess it's not food coloring. It's beer color. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, nobody can go out and enjoy St. Patrick's Day.
Nope.
As of 8 a.m. this morning, and Nick and I were having a discussion of whether it carries over into Fort Bend because he said bars out in Fort Bend County are still rocking and rolling. But I was like, well, as of 8 a.m. this morning, I don't know how that relates to the carryover to Fort Bend County. But I know in Harris County in Houston, it's you're done.
Yeah,
doing all that.
No more gatherings.
And someone said
comedy is dead right now. I'll tell you that much.
Well, you should be doing a whole bunch of social media comedy.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's not a thing.
Put your name out there. Post your bits on Facebook and on YouTube.
I mean, I tweet jokes as it is, but there are some comics that are going to start live streaming sets and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I prefer to have a crowd, not just
I mean, you're just funny anyway. That's why the handle is what it is, but I mean, that's why I follow you on Twitter.
Oh, that's why?
Yeah, because, you know, I get chuckles.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, not like you're a clown funny. That's
Bill,
am
I,
that's
Bill O'Brien. Do I amuse you?
You
oh,
are funny,
boy.
Funny.
The hits just keep on coming with that guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I do feel, by the way, before we get off the subject, but because it is St. Patrick's Day, Charlie and I were talking when I came in, too. You do feel for the fact that on a Tuesday night, the local bars and establishments on an otherwise probably slow night take a huge hit because this would have been a massive revenue generator for a lot of businesses.
Sure.
And in particular, like Keneally's. I know the Flowers family that have owned Keneally's for a long time. Literally in one night, Keneally's will probably, on St. Patrick's Day, would make as much as they probably make in maybe more than a month.
That's crazy.
Like, they fenced off their entire parking lot. There was a line to get in. Everybody, it was wall to wall, and it was just a huge party, and it's just off. And it's just, you know, that's why I think everybody doesn't even realize it's St. Patrick's Day today because there's so much other stuff going on.
Yeah, it sucks, man. This is a lot of industries that are going to suffer. There are going to be bars that close permanently because of this. There are going to be comedy clubs that close permanently because of this. There are going to be businesses, restaurants, mom and pop shops, mom and pop businesses that just can't sustain this. I mean, they're, you know, it sucks, but there are some businesses that literally live paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And week to week, and, you know, as do people. And so you're going to have a lot of people that suffer financially, and you know, you run the risk of, thank goodness there's you know, there's some conscience in business where you're already seeing light companies saying, hey, don't worry, we're not going to shut your lights off. We're not going to kick you out of your home. I think in California, if you can't pay your rent, the largest landlord in the state, which is notoriously bad, and we talked about that Dirty Money show, they had slumlords in New York, and they can't wait to kick you out and up the property value and raise rent. The largest one in California said, we're not kicking anybody out. If you can't pay your rent, we'll figure it out.
That's great.
So you like hearing that stuff, man, because this is no one wants this. No one asked for this.
And not only that, like, if there was no mandatory order or mandatory shutdown, I feel like, you know, just throwing out numbers here, like a small business that perhaps goes down from like 500 customers a day to like 100 customers a day, I think the revenue that they would get from just that small amount might keep them afloat. But when it's a complete shutdown, and not that I'm disagreeing with it, it's hard for them to even keep afloat. Like somebody's business might actually make it because they're so established. Some of them might make it had they just been able to be open for a few hours or just been able to be at 25% capacity, but it's just not the case.
I think also, too, some bad ideas. Someone tweeted out, well, because of all of this going on, instead of just you can still do takeout for the restaurants, to save the bars, you should also be able to do takeout on drinks and alcohol from the bars.
Good.
I'm like,
yeah,
that's probably not a good idea. That'd be terrible.
Why?
People then you'd have drunks like me drinking and driving.
To go?
Yeah.
You could already do that at the convenience store and the liquor store. What's the difference?
But when you make a hub for it, it just, I feel like it propels it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. When you see someone walk into a convenience store and buy a tall boy, you think they're waiting to get home to drink
well,
it?
Well, no.
No.
The brown paper bag is designed for that reason.
Exactly. So it, I don't think it changes much. It just gives the opportunity for the bars to maybe serve specialty drinks and, you know, you put it in a container or something where it's kind of like for some reason when I went to Chick-fil-A the last couple of times and had an order to go, they had it taped closed. And I guess they do that for Uber Eats and stuff so you can see that nobody got into your food.
Mm-hmm.
Why not do that with the alcohol, right? Like if you want margaritas from somewhere, maybe you love a place that has a special drink that you can't get at like, you know, at a liquor store. You go there, buy it, it's taped closed, you wait till you get home and drink it.
I think
it.
Technically it just has to be sealed. So yeah. You can make a drink. As long as it's been and like sealed and hasn't been open, you can sell it and then they can just walk out with it.
Like yeah. A growler. You can with the growlers. Yeah.
You know what? Now's a good time to get some maybe some thermoses with your thing on it and seal it that way. I don't know.
You know why my ghetto saran wrap idea on my shake? Now you know why it's a good idea because businesses yeah, could just seal things
right.
And sell it. That's Joel's right. not buying it.
Skip the hygiene and here's the transfer of virus possibilities.
Somebody make cup condoms and then you just put it on the top. And by the way, somebody in my neighborhood was like, this will tell you the kind of neighborhood I live in. Somebody wanted to buy a ballerina bar or a ballet bar.
Why?
What?
I don't know. There's somebody was like in our neighborhood Facebook.
You're talking
group,
about like the bar.
Yeah, but if you go into a ballet studio, they have that bar. Somebody's like, does anyone have an extra ballet bar?
Yeah, I got two in the garage.
Well, I posted. I was like, no, but I did install a stripper pole in my man cave. I only used it once, threw my back out. So if you want to use that, you can just mount it horizontally.
They
oh, they hate me so
God,
much in my neighborhood.
Hate you and your neighbor.
Yeah, they do.
I will say the other feel good story that was on the news last night. A few stations started to pick up on it, but Irma's, a very popular spot in the downtown area, was saying that you know they was going to be very difficult for them to make sure that their employees were okay with all this going down. Someone last night before close left a $9,400 tip and said on the receipt for the check said please use this to take care of all of your employees during this tough
time.
Wow. Very cool move.
Yeah, I put a note out to all the comedians cuz there's a lot of comics that this is how they make their living and I said, "Look, if you need a job, HEB is just saying, man, we need anybody. We need help." So, if you are struggling right now, there are some places where I think you could just get help as a stocker.
Yep.
Maybe if you want to do like Uber Eats or DoorDash to supplement your income because people can't go out to eat, but they can have food delivered. It's a little more dangerous.
Yep.
But, you know, get one of those masks. I mean, no one's going to make fun of you in this current climate if you delivered food and walked up with gloves on and a mask to deliver their food. They probably would be happy.
Yeah.
I know I would. You could walk up in a bio suit, hazard suit. I'd be like, yes, thank you, Jesus. My food is clean.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because that's the biggest concern, right? I mean, the fact that you don't know if people are serving you the food and what condition everything is and what you know how often they're washing their hands and everything else. So the more that you can just border on the safe side, you're right. When you go to the grocery store and I see people shopping with rubber gloves on and or a mask on, hey, go for it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's very difficult right now to figure out exactly what we're dealing with and what severity level, depending on who you talk to and what you hear. So it's a big deal. So, you know, take care of you and make sure you can take care of others if you can, too. That's a big deal and a big message today. So,
yeah.
Before we just want to get that in before we get into some sports. Now, there's a lot going on.
There is.
Holy cow, Tom Brady, closer to a decision. But one thing we do know for sure, he's not going to be a Patriot anymore.
Dun, dun, dun.
He went to social media and laid it all out for everybody is in the New England area that Tuomi is not going to be back with his favorite team.
So bigger shock to you guys, DeAndre Hopkins being traded or Tom Brady not returning to the Patriots?
DeAndre Hopkins being traded.
You know, I would have, had I not heard all the rumblings about Tom Brady, like seriously considering leaving, I probably would have said Tom Brady, but without a doubt Hopkins, because I felt like nobody in the city of Houston or nationally saw that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and overnight, Stephon Diggs gets traded, and no big deal there except for the fact that as part of the trade with a plethora of draft picks going to the Minnesota Vikings, one of them happened to be a first-round pick, which means yet another receiver was traded for a first-round pick. And when you're talking about the fact that the Texans had one of the top three receivers in football and didn't get a first-round pick, it just makes it all the more curious.
Not so fast. They went out and signed Randall Cobb. So now they're going to pay him $9 million a year over the next 3 years. What was it, 18 guaranteed or something like that?
Mm-hmm. So you want me to get into that for you?
So that's outstanding.
You know,
here's the deal.
Since if you thought, let me just tell you this. If you think Randall Cobb can stay healthier than Will Fuller, good luck to you. Because I had more than enough experience when he wore green and gold. He was damn good for about six games a year.
Now, let me do some. No, do we have? Okay.
Well, I
don't
Will do this Fuller's the good break. For six games.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a trade-off.
You can get 16 out of the entire receiving core between Kenny Stills, Cobb,
QT.
Fuller, and QT. Yeah, you could have 16 games of watch out. You know, it's like sex with a guy that can't. It's 2 minutes of fury. Boy, you just, for those individual games, they're going to be great. Overall, awful. So I did some quick math, and I'll reveal it on the other side of this break. But I basically compared, what is it going to cost to have Randall Cobb and David Johnson over the next 2 years versus DeAndre Hopkins and Carlos Hyde if you paid Carlos Hyde his market value according to SpotTrack. So we can get to that on the other side.
There you go. All right, so we got plenty to get to. It's a big show. Lots to talk about. NFL going crazy with moves, potential moves, and, of course, the what-ifs of where Tom Brady may end up. And we will have you to participate. So the HR&P listener line, wide open right now, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. We are the usual suspects. Just getting started, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Just getting started, I guess, for all you sportsies out there that are always worried about us talking too much about the coronavirus, the NFL has saved your bacon because, holy cow, this week, just the table was set. The Hopkins trade happened. Free agency is running amok. Or should I say, is it the legal tampering period with that? People reaching agreements without signing documents. That's for tomorrow. And the biggest name, the biggest shoe to fall, the biggest bomb to be dropped happened this morning when at least part of the answers that everybody or a lot of people were waiting for, Tom Brady has decided, for one, through social media, to thank everybody around the Patriots, Boston, New England, the whole thing, and say, I'm moving on to the next chapter. He just hasn't announced which team yet. Now, depending on who you talk to, is it a two-team race? Has he already decided? We have until tomorrow to find out. Fox Sports Radio is tweeting, and Nick said through what Colin Cowherd.
Correct.
They are thinking that it's Tampa Bay, that he is going to Tampa.
He said on the air, I was told 35 minutes ago that Tom Brady signs tomorrow with Tampa Bay, and he also describes his source as not a football source, but an icon source.
He talked to you.
The hell's an icon source? Somebody mean? I've never heard of that.
Somebody in Tom's stratosphere that knows Tom and who is a famous person.
That's what I call you when we're not working.
Okay. I don't know Tom. That's weird. That's a weird way to just to say I have a reliable source.
I also feel like Mark Wahlberg told him.
Could be, because I feel like it also cuts it down for Brady. So if that's how he describes the source, then Tom Brady either was okay with him revealing that information to Colin Cowherd, or now he's found out who
spilled the beans.
Right.
Because Mark Wahlberg, I throw that out there because you remember everything from Entourage, the clips they did to they show them all the time. They're golfing together, they're hanging together. Wahlberg's wearing the TB12 hats and all that stuff, and they've gotten pretty close. So I would throw that out there as a possibility. I don't know how Colin Cowherd gets in that mix, but maybe. I mean, the leaders in the clubhouse, especially after Tennessee re-signed Ryan Tannehill, were the Chargers and the Buccaneers. And you can make a case for either team as teams that would make sense. But I think just in terms of, like, from a coaching perspective, I think Tampa makes more sense if they're both almost equal, simply because Bruce Arians worked with Peyton Manning forever. He's got that kind of quarterback connection. He had worked with Roethlisberger. So I think that makes sense that Tom could be on the same page as opposed to Lynn and with the Chargers, and you just don't know because maybe the relationship and the knowledge isn't there like it would be in Tampa. And look, they're loaded. They've got receivers all over the place in Tampa. They got
Godwin with the emergence of Godwin.
Yeah, Godwin and everybody knows Mike Evans.
Yeah,
from A&M days, and so he's the best kept secret in football in terms of a great receiver with everything: size, speed, hands, the whole works. They got two quality young tight ends led by OJ Howard and Brate. They've got a lot. Their defense is very, very underrated and good. So I think that there's a lot of reasons why Tampa would be in the mix. And it would make sense.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, the players, the coach, the weather, the state. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why it might make sense. Now, is he going to a proven winner? No.
Right.
But I think it's mutually beneficial. I mean, I think you're going to get, even with an aging Tom Brady, you're going to get better play from him than you would Jameis Winston.
I'm sure he doesn't like that report.
Who?
Jameis Winston.
Oh, no, not at all.
He's gone.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, but I mean, if you're Brady, you're giddy looking at all the weapons you'd have around you as opposed to what you've had to deal with in New England the last couple of years. Because Hembo on ESPN tweeted out earlier in the morning, you think that Brady didn't have weapons when he was in New England? Look at the offensive scoring based on his defense over the last 20 years. Basically, he got more scoring from his defense than he got from the majority of the weapons around him in New England. And so to look at either situation, be it the Chargers or the Buccaneers, because you look at Keenan Allen and Williams as the receivers with Hunter Henry, if you bring him back, which it looks like because you tagged him with a first-round tender if anybody tries to sign him. So you got Henry, Allen, and Williams, and then you're bringing back Eckler. So even if Melvin Gordon moves on, and both teams have above-average offensive lines and good young defenses, You could do a lot worse.
Yeah. Also, just to point it out, at 12:30, I think it broke right before we came on air, but the Panthers have reached a deal with Teddy Bridgewater.
So it's confirmed they have a deal now?
Yeah, that's according to NFL.com. So they have given Cam Newton the opportunity to find a trade partner, and they're going to trade Cam. So looks like the Panthers have decided that Teddy Bridgewater is their guy because they've reached a deal. It said Ian Rappaport reported Tuesday that the Panthers are finalizing a contract with quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to be their starter. Deal's expected to come in around $20 million per year.
Seems like a pretty good deal, right? I mean, he's not overly proven.
35 or 33.
Yeah.
But he's a younger guy. He was 5-0 when he filled in for Drew Brees. And speaking of Drew Brees, by the way, you want to talk about a pretty good bargain deal. He signs a 2-year, $50 million deal with the Saints. Yeah. So they actually save money at 25 a year to use in other ways. When they bring him back. So they had been rumored to have already been talking to Teddy about bringing him back and then being the heir apparent. But now it looks like he gets a lot more money and a chance to start right away in a fresh start situation in Carolina.
Yeah. The other headline I saw on NFL.com, Raiders signed Corey Littleton to a 3-year deal. Yep. And then the Bears signed defensive end Robert Quinn.
Yeah, so Quinn's leaving the Cowboys to go to the Bears. Mm-hmm. Littleton's leaving the Rams to go to the Raiders. And, you know, the Rams had a lot of big-time contracts on the defense. They had to do something. So that's something that they're sorting out. But the latest tracker, I mean, when you look at it, there's just moves happening all over the place just every time you blink your eyes and overnight and at all times of the morning, noon, and night. There's a lot of moves to be made, so and a lot of things happening. Man, so
Bears are going to be scary defensively.
They already were before,
yeah,
right?
That's
but now
what I'm
they're
saying.
Yeah, now they're still adding.
So real quick, I did the numbers. We teased it before we went to break, and I wanted to do that since we teased it.
Sure.
I looked at the numbers for both Randall Cobb and David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Carlos Hyde. Now, the Carlos Hyde numbers are projected based on SpotTrack's market value. So SpotTrack says Carlos Hyde is worth $3 million a year. They suggest that he could get $3 million a year and get a 2-year deal. So they're saying $3 million and three, so $6 million roughly. So I took that number, and if you add that to what Hopkins would make over the next 2 years at 12.5 and 13.5, that's $32 million if you just re-signed Carlos Hyde and kept DeAndre Hopkins, right? Mm-hmm. By signing Cobb to a 3-year $27 million deal, assuming it's $9 million a year, 19 of that was guaranteed. So over the next 2 years, yeah, you're paying a lot less for Cobb than you are for Hopkins at $9 million a year. David Johnson, however, is going to cost you 10 and 8 over the next 2 years. So that comes out to $36 million. So you're actually paying $4 million more for the combination of Randall Cobb and David Johnson than you would have been for Hopkins and Carlos Hyde. You're paying $4 million more. We already know that by the numbers, Hopkins is way better, but I looked at the Pro Football Focus grades. DeAndre Hopkins graded out at an 87.8. Carlos Hyde graded at a 74.2. David Johnson graded at a 72.2, so still less than what Hyde is. And Randall Cobb graded at a 69.9. So you went from an 88 to a 70 and a 74 to a 72 and paid $4 million more over the next 2 years. Great job, Bill O'Brien. You're an idiot.
You can dig deep. As deep as you want, and you'll just find more and more reasons why that this is just a dumb deal.
Stupid. So stupid. Was Randall Cobb supposed to make it all okay?
You know what he made because last year?
I'm glad you brought that up.
He made 1 year, $5 million deal last year, too.
Yeah.
So that was more along the lines of what you're saying. Like, the value is short deal, prove it, because year to year, you don't know if he's going to stay healthy and what he's got left.
Well, my thing, I tweeted this out. One, you don't Randall Cobb is a complimentary player, not a guy that you replace a DeAndre Hopkins with. First of all. Second of all, this team's problem wasn't offense. They blew a 24-point lead. They were able to amass the 24-point lead with good offense. It's that their defense sucked. Well, and the coaching.
The coaching.
But he's not going to fire himself. But you got, you know, this team needed help defensively, not offensively. What are you doing? You're focusing on the wrong side of the ball, you idiot.
You and I were on the exact same page, too. If you have DeAndre Hopkins on one side and Will Fuller on the other side, and we know how much they've struggled with a slot receiver to stay healthy and do anything for them, and you added Randall Cobb in the slot, now you're talking.
Right.
But the fact that you're expecting him to kind of resurrect his career as one of Aaron Rodgers' best receivers and stay healthy and do things to try and make you forget about DeAndre Hopkins, forget about that. And then, of all the moves we were talking about, the one that sticks out last night was we had even mentioned and hinted yesterday Stephon Diggs was going to be traded. But when Stephon Diggs was traded, to the Vikings received a first round, a fourth round, a fifth round, a seventh round. The key here is another receiver, not as good as DeAndre Hopkins, brings a first round pick back to a team that sorely and desperately needs draft picks and desperately could use a first round pick. So Warren Sharp had tweeted this, and I'll just go down. Brandon Cooks was traded twice for a first-round pick. Amari Cooper was traded last year for a first-round pick. OBJ, a first, a third, and a former first-round defensive back. Diggs now for a first, fourth, fifth, and extras. Hopkins, you got David Johnson. You got a second.
Doesn't make
sense. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like I said, it was Houston's best-kept secret in the past, how bad Bill O'Brien was at both jobs. But now everyone is torching his ass.
Everybody.
Every national show, yeah. Every NFL guy is in disbelief. The Texans are the laughingstock of the NFL. They've surpassed the Browns of the past, you know, and all the different franchises that have completely screwed up over the last decade or so. Everyone's laughing at the Texans.
Sad.
It's embarrassing.
They have surpassed. You know what? If they keep this up, they're going to be known as the team where players go to get paid and retire and end their careers because they know they're not going to win anything on that team. And at this rate, if they continue at this rate, that's what's going to happen. They're going to be viewed as the team that you get paid for it, not to win championships.
I can't tell you internally and externally how many people have come to me and said that I'm joining Barry. I'm jumping off the bandwagon. I'm just looking for a new team.
Not the Chiefs. There's no room. Well, find somewhere else to go.
That's fine. All right, so that's the first half hour of the show. Plenty more to get to. If you guys want to join us, please do. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. For the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff doing a fantastic job. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. And boy, when I say that, I mean it. They have your back. They look at all the other plans out there and all the other rates, and they do their best to make sure that they match and beat all of them to take care of you as best as they can. Several of our listeners have switched recently. recently. P. Randizzle amongst them had the lowest bill he's ever had because of the fact that Infuse takes care of you. You can check them out at InfuseEnergy.com or better yet, call them 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You receive a $25 bill credit and they'll go from there. They'll ask you questions. They'll pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and the best plan and rate they can give you. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips from a company that has the best rating in the Public Utility Commissions of Texas. 5 out of 5 stars. Check them out. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, half hour in, 3 hour show. Nick, Barry, myself, happy St. Patty's Day, if you even realize, like all of us, a lot of other things going on that kind of lets that kind of stuff slide by. By the way, Texans with another big signing, A.J. McCarron's coming back. Yeah! A.J. McCarron, how about at least showing some thing that would add excitement to Houston?
If you have a hot girlfriend, though, it means you're confident. So it's not a terrible...
Hot wife. Brent Musburger thinks so. Yes.
It's not a terrible signing.
Well, but you know what? And, of course, everybody was kind of really hoping that P.J. Walker would get a shot to be the backup coming from the Roughnecks. Mm. So, you know, that's still... I would still invite him to training camp. I would still give him a shot. I think, and I think Houston would love that, but because Houston would love that, Bill O'Brien will not do that.
Yeah, he definitely hates Houston. There's no doubt about
no
it.
No question about it.
That he hates Houston. They also signed Eric Murray, the Texans did, cornerback out of Cleveland, who also played some safety, but he was listed as a safety, but mainly played slot corner, nickel corner. Problem is he has started in 15 games in his career, 4 last year, played in 9, was injured, has never started more than 9 games in a single season, and they paid him 3 years and $20 million, almost 21. I looked it up real fast just to see, one, where does he grade out? He's right in there in the pack with the Gerrion Conleys, Jonathan Josephs of the world at a 62. Mm-hmm. This is Pro Football Focus grade. Not great.
Serviceable, right?
Basically what the Texans have is a bunch of threes and fours.
Yep.
To guard ones and twos.
And Roby.
Well, Roby graded out amongst them as well. I mean, when you look at the four corners on this roster right now, well, Jonathan Joseph isn't there, but he graded out at a 64. Conley graded at a 64.5. Bradley Roby graded at a 63.9. And Eric Murray, new Texan, now grades at a 62.5. So they're basically like, okay, we've got this mediocre, at best, a mediocre group of corners. Let's just add another one to that and spend some money on him. And let's give him $6.6 million a year, which, if you're curious as to where that would put him as far as cornerbacks paid, that would put him right ahead of the Colts' Pierre Desir. Yeah, at 17, just behind Justin Coleman. So Richard Sherman makes $8 million a year. This cat is going to make 6.6.
I don't know. Just keep on coming.
Yeah, he would be the 17th ranked cornerback in football when he graded out at a 62, which put him, what did I tell you? That put him, he graded out 64th, but he's getting 17 money. Good job, Texans. You're doing so good.
He likes to pay for all these injured folks.
Yeah. That too. Another
injured,
guy.
Old.
David Johnson, Eric Murray, none of these guys. Randall Cobb. None of these cats could have played a full season and win.
Hey, you tore your ACL? Come and be a Texan,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Oh, you got an Achilles
ACL
shot?
Or an Achilles? Come on in. We want
come to
you.
NRG.
Yeah, we got a spot for you.
I just don't understand it. You know what it is he's probably Bill O'Brien's rationale is, well, we got a good med center. So, yeah, I mean, we'll take all your sick and your wounded and your terrible. Yeah, you got weak ankles? Come on down. We got a med center. We'll fix you right up.
And when is this guy get? You know he won't hold the press conference. You know he doesn't want to talk about any of this.
Those are the only questions that are going to be raised up.
When he first
meets with the media, it's going to go Chronicle, 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 then like maybe six. Like it's just going to go back to back to back with guys asking questions, and it's going to be a rotation, and they're just going to rephrase the questions in about 13 different ways.
Do you think they ask the pertinent and hard-hitting questions, or do you think they back off?
Chronicle will.
I think the Chronicle will. Yeah, Aaron Wilson and who's the other writer over there?
Because I'll go.
McClain.
I swear I'll go.
McClain will.
The problem is you're going to lead with the question and say, go Chiefs, Coach Brian.
No, I'll go and I'll ask him questions. What were you thinking when you traded DeAndre Hopkins and didn't get a one in return?
Oh.
But no, I'll swear.
He'll
you guys give me a list of questions.
You know why? Because he doesn't
know
your name.
Questions. I'll go.
He's going to need to know your name so we can go, well, Barry.
I'll be like, I have a question. Joe Blank, ESPN.
He raises his hand. Sir,
yeah, Joe Blank.
I have a question. Yeah. Joe Blank, ESPN. What were you thinking, you dumbass? That would be my question. No, I'll go. You guys, we can take questions from the listeners.
And you don't
think? And I'll be happy to go down and ask
them. That.
I'd be happy to go and ask the hard-hitting questions because he's a dumbass and
someone
he deserves
to
be roasted in the public.
Is he's not going to do the press conference. Just like at the end of the year, he was supposed to. It was supposed to. You say he had to. He was supposed to do it then, and he avoided it and was like, nope, and we're not taking it right after the game. We're not taking any questions about the game. It's still too fresh. And then it took him like a month before he came out and did any kind of press conference because he wanted it all to die down and subside. So just like this, he's probably not going to talk. And the ironic thing is, and I'll give you complete credit for this, but it's kind of a combo of what we've talked about. But again, I say Houston's dirty little secret of all the things we knew and saw about him that the nation was just kind of hidden from, which started to get exposed with the Chiefs. Now it's full blown because ESPN this morning said exactly what you said. We've already talked about the one side of this, which is he acts like he's Nick Saban or Bill Belichick. Someone made the perfect comparison that you've already made. They said, how do you act like Bill Belichick or Nick Saban when your resume is Marvin Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's absolutely spot on. And Barry said this forever, that his resume is more like Marvin Lewis. So now, like I said, the things that we've been telling you that we've seen here in Houston and have been insulated to the rest of the world on, now the whole world's figuring out. This guy's a buffoon.
I don't understand. These moves, I try to look at them from a financial or fiscal perspective, and it just doesn't make – you're getting worse. You're saving money, but you're getting worse. I mean, when you look at this,
but you're
simple,
not saving money, and how many people you're overpaying.
But even when you do the simple comparison of what I did, so you had an extra year of Hopkins at $14 million. You had the best receiver in football, and you paid him like the 17th best. That's called value, Bill O'Brien. You don't get rid of that. Did he want to negotiate? Sure. And I read somewhere, I don't know if it was Cody Stoops or somebody wrote an article, and they were like, with the new CBA, it would cost DeAndre Hopkins so much money financially to hold out and not
you
play.
You had the upper hand.
That it would be counterproductive. You absolutely had one of the best receivers in football, and you were paying him like a middle-of-the-pack guy. Why do you trade that? And then you get nothing back in return.
Yeah, you had
to
all
your
the
point
leverage.
About all the ones, you get, you're like, bro, we're giving you this this amazing contract. We want a 1 and a 3 and a 5 and David Johnson. And some teams would have done that. And
keep David Johnson, because your point about Hyde, but throw Patrick Peterson in the mix so at least you get somebody that can still play at a high level to help you out.
It's this dude doesn't understand value. I don't think he understands. Tell me he doesn't pay bills at his house. Because their lights get cut off monthly.
Oh, no, they don't.
He's
They've
just
got credit.
Awful with money.
He's overpaying on those bills. He pays more. They got credit, so even when they move out, he got credit for 6 months.
I just don't understand that. You're upset because you had to. You were going to have to possibly renegotiate with the best receiver in football to pair him up with a quarterback.
Here's the other thing that I don't like either.
And
because
you'd rather...
people have sources, right? We all know there's a lot of people with sources out there. But every national media outlet that's reporting on this hints and tiptoes around it without just coming out and say it. They go, well, there had to be something more to it. Like, there had to be something about the relationship with Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins. Just spit it out. He didn't like them. Just like he didn't like Jadeveon Clowney. Just like he didn't like Brian Gain. And everybody he didn't like, he gets rid of because he can't separate personal from business. And that's a huge, huge, huge mistake.
Yeah, you don't want a team full of guys you like, because then you end up with a team full of crappy players.
Right. That's like saying you're not going to draft someone because you don't like maybe the mistakes they've made in the past, but he could help you on the football field.
It just doesn't make sense.
Well, we'll keep pushing on. If you guys want to join the discussion, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call or text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Making moves is...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Tuesday in the big city. Yes, I know, way back Wednesday, tomorrow. We'll get to that. I heard Granato and Lance this morning. There was listeners that were back and forth saying, Deshaun didn't know. Deshaun Watson didn't know. And then others were saying, no, he had to know. Everybody has to know. You're the best, one of the best players. You had to know. Granato just basically put him to bed and said, nope. Checked with my sources. Nope. Didn't know. I mean, you could tell because, like I said, there was video of one of his close, in his inner circle people, of people telling him for the first time. And then they deleted it. And our intern got a screen capture of it. And it was quick. But you could tell that there was surprise on his face. But he finally did tweet, Deshaun Watson did, and said, man, this is crazy. Not sure how you thank someone who has done so much for you in your career. Not only someone who was a leader, but one of the best to ever do it. Even more, I appreciate your genuine friendship from day one. Wishing you everything you deserve, fam. At DeAndre Hopkins. That's just, I mean, I don't know how you move on from this. And like I said yesterday, I mean, the big thing to me is that Texans fans better brace themselves. If they think this is embarrassing and this is as low as it can go and this is bad, the other shoe could
get worse.
Yeah, it could get worse. If Deshaun decides, you know what? I'm out. We said his agent yesterday was like, when they saw this move being made. I mean, you want weapons and you want security. It's offensive line. It's having a go-to guy that's one of the top three. I think the best receiver in football. And giving him more, not taking away.
Yeah. It's hard to make sense of it. It's hard to see the logic in what he's doing. And this is why yesterday I kept saying I'm holding out a 5% or 10% chance. But then you see this Randall Cobb move, and I'm like, that surely isn't it. Surely you weren't like, well, I can get out from under having to pay this guy $14 million to pay this guy $9 million. When it's not even close in skill set. And I think it goes back to what you said earlier. If you don't like DeAndre Hopkins, dude, be the bigger person. Because at the end of the day, this is about winning football games, not making friends. Go on and win football games. And the way you do that is with the best players on the field. And you had one, and you gave him away for nothing, and you replaced him with nothing. And I hope you lose your job over it, because you're a dumbass.
Doesn't
make sense.
What about the first losing streak? What about the first four games?
Yeah.
And he goes 1-3. What if that's the case?
Gosh.
You don't think questions are going to... I would be like, well, we're four games into the season, Bill. You know, how do you feel about that Hopkins move?
And what if David Johnson averages 49 yards a game? And then you go to your comparison about what did Hyde do last year? Yeah, and then instead you've got a guy that's making all this money that's not doing this. And if your passing game suffers and you didn't have Hopkins... And Barry, I'm going to tell you this. I held out hope because of what you said. I was like, you know what? We have to be objectives about this completely. So I'm going to hold that 10 to 15%, and I'm going to see what else happens. And when Diggs got traded, and I heard the tease was, Stephon Diggs looks like he's going to get his wish. He's going to get a new home. We mentioned that he had indicated it looked like he was going somewhere. Late night, I'm watching TV, and I see Diggs has got traded. I go, well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Now, if he brings in Diggs, then I'd be okay with it. But then he goes to Buffalo, and a first-round pick comes back amongst a ton of – and I'm going, okay, so maybe he has something else up his sleeve.
That's the thing, though. I don't know if I would have been okay with it, because even if you had Stephon Diggs and David Johnson, you're still not better than you would if you had DeAndre Hopkins and Carlos Hyde. There was no scenario because you had –
Well, only if Diggs didn't want an extension.
The only way that this works is if he goes out and gets Michael Thomas from the Saints. Then you're like, okay, maybe you can make the argument you got better at wide receiver. But outside of that,
you can tell,
there's no way you got better. You had the best.
Right, you did, right? But the best was rumored to have wanted an extension or wanted to renegotiate.
Pay the man.
Right? And he probably deserved
JJ,
it. He's earned it. Yeah.
He's the J.J. Watt on the offensive side of the ball for this team. Pay that man.
But I'm saying the only way that you could say that even makes sense is you get a guy that's an upper echelon receiver that already has a contract in place where maybe, because we know that the bottom line is number one with Cal McNair, because obviously there, it can't be football operations and it can't be anything other than I'm staying out of the way and let Bill hold grudges and get rid of people he doesn't like and do whatever he wants as long as we keep making money. So if they could have protected the bottom line and still got a fairly top tier receiver with Hopkins going out, then at least you open your eyes and go, okay, at least they had a plan. He doesn't have a plan. He gave Randall Cobb, who was on a one-year, $5 million deal with the Cowboys, on a prove it because he couldn't stay healthy and everybody knew it. And you gave him $9 a year for 3 years with two of those years guaranteed.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Why not bring him back? The Texans are the king of the show me, prove it, one-year deals. Give him another one-year deal at five or six and see what he can do.
Yeah, give him $9 million for 1 year or something.
Right?
I don't know. I just,
and
I,
with a team option.
Oh, boy.
And then Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Right? And then Amari Cooper re-signs with the Cowboys. Gets $100 million, in which I think almost 80 is guaranteed. But the Cowboys making the Texans look like they know what they're doing for a change.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we have a really good receiver. Let's hang on to him and give Dak a weapon.
Yep.
Because right now,
it's making Jerry Jones look like a better general
manager. That's what I mean.
Dude, Jerry Rocha texted me the other day, like yesterday on the way home, and we were talking about this. And one of the things he threw out was, I won't mention it because I don't want to cause. But he asked me about Bill O'Brien, and I said, Jerry, at this point, I would rather have Jerry Jones as the GM of the Texans than Bill O'Brien.
Think about that for a second.
He gives us better one-liners, too. He's funnier.
Yeah.
He's old and senile. We can make fun of him.
Honest to God, I would rather have Jerry Jones as the GM of the Houston Texans right now on March 17th, 2020, than I would Bill O'Brien.
Let that
and
suck
there's
in.
No way that I would have ever said that before because Jerry Jones is a terrible GM.
Let that soak in for a second. When you're willing, and Cowboy fans can relate to this because they get frustrated and can't stand him. If you'd rather have Jerry Jones than Bill O'Brien as your GM, you are the laughingstock of the NFL. Yeah. That's the bottom line. You make the Cleveland Browns look like they know what they've been doing for the last decade. This is just atrocious.
And they have the fifth highest cap space available right now. Sixth in football. So, good job. Well, you freed up money. Let's see what you do with it. But right now, I hold out no hope that they're going
to
do anything good with it.
Here's what I want you
to do. I'm going to hold out no hope they do anything good with it.
You go to your spot tracker, and you take everybody that's the middle of the road, just average players, and we can highlight them by position. All those guys are looking to get big deals from the Texans.
Yeah, probably true.
Right?
Yeah.
You take a journeyman, an over-the-hill guy, or a middle-of-the-road guy. Yeah, just any. That's what they're going to do because that's what they continue to show that they do.
Yeah.
They want to catch that lightning in a bottle and hope just once they can hang their hat on it and go, look what we did. We brought in social. You brought in Roby last year on a one-year prove it, and he did. So now you gave him a big deal money. That's your signature move. Other than that, what are you doing?
I just don't.
All right, let's work in some of these calls. Mitch has been holding a while. He wants to talk about Bill O'Brien. Mitch, what's up? Mitch, go ahead.
Mitch, you're up. Okay. Hang up on Mitch. You tried.
Joe. Give it a go, Joe. What's up? Joe.
Yo, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? What do you got?
Man, I wanted to... Listen, it's about time that we call out the Houston fans because we suffered through this enough, man. This dude's been traded... All of our good players, we were already a mediocre team. Now we're at the bottom of the trash can team for sure. I say, man, it's time for us to call out the fans, man, and we march on Reliance Stadium, and we call for this dude's head, man, to get him the hell out of our city. Because this is just crazy, man, what he's continually doing. And it's being allowed, man, that we got these loyal fans who keep buying merchandise and keep buying these tickets to the stadium. When they being loyal to the damn village idiot, and it's stupid, man.
I mean, look, Joe, I agree with you on a lot of. I'm not marching.
He wants to like drive him out the city.
Yeah. Did you guys get tweets?
It's not Saddam Hussein. It's close. It's close. But I'm not marching because one, it's almost impossible.
No coronavirus, Barry.
Because you got to keep 6 feet from everybody. So if you do have a march, you're gonna have to come in from several different ways. You can't just go down Kirby. You're gonna have to come in from all different points to Reliant, and then you can't have a gathering of more than 10 people. So we'd have to march 9 at a time, 6 feet apart. It's just, I'm kind of tired. I don't want to march. I just want to say mean things on the radio.
Can you
and
not
Twitter.
Exhale like that again?
I just want to say mean things on Twitter and radio and then just, you know.
That's a good sign. I feel tired, and then you follow it with.
I don't want to march.
Shortness of breath.
I don't know.
Did you guys get the tweets, by the way?
It's just lazy. I don't want to march, Joe.
Did you get the
tweet?
I want
to type angrily. I just want to type angrily and say hateful things on the radio.
People That's tweeting it. Me. And listing Fred and a lot of people going, and I think you guys were on a couple of them that said, can you help us get the word out with your platform so that everyone can picket and protest and sit outside NRG until Bill the Clown O'Brien is fired?
Yeah, that's weird. I'm not doing that. We're already on the radio saying how bad it is and that no one should buy tickets or merchandise until he's gone. I'm not going to start, you know, getting hashtags trending. That's just not a thing I'm going to do.
Huh? And picking a new
team. Oh, yeah, I picked a new team. Yeah, do that. I'm telling you, if you want to do it, stop trying to get a hashtag trending. That's not going to get Bill O'Brien fired. The only way you're going to get him fired is if you stop paying money to the Texans, period. All this other stuff you want to march and rally and hashtags and just stop spending money. I promise you he'll be gone if you stop spending money. That's it.
I mean, the biggest problem you got is their waiting list is so long that you tell people to give up their tickets, and then someone on that waiting list who has a business just snaps them up.
How about this? You want to make an impact? Don't march on the stadium. Just call them. Just call the Texans front office and say, I'll never go to another game or buy another shirt or jersey or spend a single dime on your team until you fire Bill O'Brien. And when they get thousands and thousands and thousands of those calls, and then they see that their ticket sales or their merchandise sales are down, I promise you it'll have an impact. But just getting a hashtag going, that's not doing nothing. And I'm not walking anywhere.
Yeah, and someone started a petition last night, too.
I'm too tired to walk.
All right, while Barry gets his breath and we get ready for the second hour of the show, you can too. Back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!